news I gained just yesterday dismayed all that I learned. The emptiness of life examined. Time can't be.
Hello out there, and welcome to another episode of Things I Learned While Learning Other Things. This is an attempt by me, Joe Morahan, and my brother JS to provide you with a series of interesting, informative, educational, and yeah, we hope enjoyable stories that will help you navigate through those high seas of life. Today we introduced Donkey Do What Donkeys Do Ado, Part 2. Now, I had promised in episode 1 that we'd be discussing a naive, trusting French man, a donkey, a court of law, a gardener, Brigitte Bardot, and we will. I promise you. Soon, I hope. But first, I know it seems a bit random, but we have to add to our discussion Arthur Schopenhauer, Hillary Clinton and ashtrays, the plight of the homeless, the rights of spiders, John Lennon, stray dogs in Bucharest, and other subjects of importance as we attempt to make sense of that trusting French man, that donkey, the court of law, the gardener, and the mind and morality of one Brigitte Bardot. Whether we succeed or not in making this all make sense, well, that's for you to decide. So here we go. As I talk today, there are women out there, women who are busy declaiming, we must always believe the children, always. Other women are beseeching us as we are here today. All women must be believed whatever it is they claim. And this is a most absurd claim on its face, I have to tell you, because it can't be taken seriously. Men lie often. And some women lie too. A lot of them. We all know this true. We must be discerning, not easily duped, not taken for a fool. Truth has but one face, but lies have many masks behind which lies are concealed. And we need to be aware of this, and we need to think about what we are being told and whether that makes sense, and it seems to be true. But that is a topic, further thought of which shall remain for another day. Are women pets? I think not. But that too shall remain a discussion for another day. You know, though I do believe that many women are prone to maintain many a strange belief. And I think it's more complicated than just writing it all off to man-hating, detesting men in all their toxic masculinity. There, you know, because there appears to exist some sort of misdirected wiring in some of these women that just, you know, misfires in their brains. The synapses don't work as nature designed them to work. And there are many forms of what we will call misguided pathological altruism, MPA, and it's serious in its consequences. And it is a rich people problem in rich countries, of which we are one, of course. And in such countries, people with too much time on their hands and plenty of money, they are, in simple terms, just bored shitless. The result is the always scary idle mind syndrome. Left to their own devices, they often prove dangerous. Highly correlated with that resulting boredom is a sense of meaninglessness. Having concluded that one is leading or has been leading a worthless existence, and the recognition that one is in desperate need of finding purpose, a cause behind which one can derive some purpose, muster energy, and commit oneself to furthering said cause, and in doing so, convince oneself that one is an important player in saving animals, saving the planet from mini catastrophe, even from utter destruction. And as part of such a movement, that one is definitely making a difference, making the world a better place. Yeah, yeah, baby. And I am an important person. One is occupied now in saving lives of living creatures. One is an important cog in saving the planet. Holy shit. The degree of narcissism in such people is rather astonishing. But given that they tend to be financially well off, finely housed, well fed, and not scrounging for survival or fending off bad guys and rapists in their neighborhoods, well, one has plenty of time and energy to feed one's ego. By way of contrast, women living, you know, in Somalia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Malawi, Bangladesh, they have far, far more elementary objectives to be met in their lives. For example, like obtaining food and water and avoiding men from the morals police or dodging males bearing Kalashnikovs, M16s, or AK-47s. And as a result, those women have no time for nonsense, little time for just purely nonsensical, egotistical causes. No, survival requires attention be paid only to satisfy existential objectives. Now, let's take extremist loon animal rights ethicists in the United States. These are the same people who claim such sensitivity emanates from the depths of their souls, that they possess empathy necessary to care passionately about the rights and well-being of all animals, large and small. And while maintaining the ability to watch on film, you know, people being shot, bludgeoned, or stabbed, they have no ability to bear watching a scene involving animal cruelty. But despite this, you know, dichotomy in the irony of all this, these people, these very sensitive people, care deeply about two things: animal rights and the plight and rights of the homeless. They support the interests of and care more about homeless drug addicts who shoot up in parks and playgrounds and discard those dirty needles into the grass and whom infect whole neighborhoods with criminal behavior, such that any truly caring parent living amongst these dope fiends will quite rightly refuse to expose their children to all the dangers these homeless vagrants present in parks, pose in playgrounds, or whom loiter in front of their apartment buildings or homes. Now, why they don't care, these animal ethicists and homeless advocates, why they don't care about parents and the rights of children is really puzzling. But the result, of course, of this is that innocent young children can't safely be left outside to play unsupervised. They can't enjoy swing sets, merry-go-rounds, jungle gyms in city parks, you know, with friends, with parents, with grandparents, without significant risk of injury or infection due to discarded stray needles, the stepping in human feces, or risk injury at the hands of some deranged lunatic, free-ranging, often angry, and sometimes armed, drug-addled homeless persons. The unhoused, as they now say. You know, and I promised in part one of Donkey Do, What Donkeys Do, that we would talk about a naive, trusting French man, a donkey, a court of law, a gardener, and Brigitte Bardot. And we will, I promise, but not quite yet. We're going to get there, but there is a foundation upon which we must build. Structure, baby, structure. It's kind of a takeoff of Shades of Al Davis of the Oakland Raiders. We live in one of America's biggest cities,
nice neighborhood, urban environment, couple of blocks from the city capitol, and only two blocks, as it turns out, from the governor's mansion. Of course, the governor, he and his boyfriend, I mean, they may be married, but I'm unclear on this point, and I could look it up online, I guess, if I care to, but it does not matter to me one way or the other, because the two of them, married or unmarried, have chosen not, repeat, not to live in the governor's mansion. Anyway, they choose to live in Boulder, and consistent with the true party of tolerance doctrine of it's all good as long as it's not in my backyard sort of policy, the governor and his partner choose to allow free-ranging homeless to take over the streets of the city and to set up homeless tented communities all around the governor's mansion. Which is okay by them because, as I just mentioned, they live in Boulder where they don't have to deal with them, interact or fend off the homeless nearly as much as we do, those of us who live in the neighborhood near the governor's mansion. You know, on this particular note of fending off the homeless, let me relate to you that one morning, not that many months ago, I opened my front door, only to see a guy in a sleeping bag just outside my front door, on my front lawn. My first thought was, Jesus, this guy might actually be dead. Holy shit. His eyes were closed, his face was quite dirty, and his hair was totally matted as he lay there. He did not look good. In fact, he looked dead. Right there outside my front door. Crikey. But I think like any decent citizen might, I approached the dirty bag and bent down to check more closely on the condition of this man asleep in a sleeping bag on my front lawn, just outside my front door. And quite shockingly, this man proved himself very much alive, not dead. And he further displayed far, far more athleticism than I would have ever suspected or thought possible as he popped up out of that sleeping bag so quickly and brandishing a razor from somewhere inside that bag. Okay, we have a situation here. That's what I mean, fending off the homeless. And this is what I... And when I say dealing with, confronting the homeless, you know, parents taking their kids to, you know, city playgrounds or city parks amongst all these scary assholes are potentially exposing their children to serious harm or worse. Guns, it is argued, don't kill people. People kill people. Okay, I'll buy that argument then. But then under the same theory, razors don't kill people. Razors don't slice people. People slice people. Oh, so true. You can't have it both ways. So we, normal, law, everyday, abiding citizens, have to yield ground, our lawns, the streets, the parks, to vagrants, and to the misguided, pathological altruists. Those principally women suffering from MPA who promote the rights of the homeless to wander around doing drugs, committing crimes over the interests of local families just interested in trying to get by and live normal, safe lives. What kind of society thinks that this is a good plan? Really, this is America in 2024, where in America, victimhood has achieved sanctified, holy status. And among the loon left, and especially among those suffering from MPA, misguided pathological altruism, this is where we stand. And it's a contagious, virulent virus that ruins whole neighborhoods, entire cities, San Francisco. And left unchecked will destroy civilization as we know it. And this is not exaggeration. It's happening right now. These are twisted values. Oh yeah, we're supposed to be getting to that naive, trusting French man, a donkey, a court of law. a Gardner, and Brigitte Bardot. But they're going to have to wait till appearance in further episodes. I beg for your patience, please. But thanks for listening today. Goodbye.
I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life.